And on the line now, I have Patricia Rickard-Clark. Good afternoon, Patricia.
Good afternoon, John.
And thanks very much for taking the call. Now, we're going to there was a research commissioned by Safeguarding Ireland, which is you're the chairman of Safeguarding Ireland, and we're going to talk about how tougher laws are needed to encourage the public to call out abuse of vulnerable adults. Before we get into that, Patricia, would you tell the listeners about Safeguarding Ireland?
Well, Safeguarding Ireland was established in December 2015. It arose out of the HSE policy around safeguarding vulnerable adults. And while we were established by the HSE, we were independent of it. So the Safeguarding Ireland brings together over 30 organisations, representative of various bodies, legal and financial, health and social care professionals, regulatory bodies. So, for example, HSE, HICWA, and Gaelish Economy, post financial organisations, disability and carer representatives, NGOs. So quite a wide spectrum of people. And the whole plan is that we work together to protect vulnerable adults. And one of our main actions actually is, surprisingly in Ireland, we do not have adult safeguarding legislation. So for anybody over the age of 18, we do not have a legal framework to deal with abuse, and that's where the big gap is. And that's our real main action, is to ensure that the government does enact safeguarding legislation.
Okay, now we're talking about vulnerable adults here rather than elder abuse, which would be part of
it. Well, it would include older people, and indeed, of course, different types of abuse are more evident in older people. For example, financial abuse, psychological abuse as well is very high in the older population, but we're talking about anybody over the age of 18 years of age.
Yes, and I've read a lot about that. The financial abuse in particular is very hard to believe because it's usually done by family members.
Yes, between 75-85% is financial abuse in the community by family members. And these would be particularly people who may lack capacity or people who have appointed somebody or asked somebody, say, for example, to collect their pension. Part of that pension is kept or the whole of it is kept, and the benefit or the pension for people with disabilities, the benefit is kept by the person who's collecting it and not used for the person's benefit. So very serious issues. Also, the research indicates that when financial abuse increases, the level of neglect increases because people are now relieved of their assets and their money. And obviously they're neglected. So if I give you some of the figures, over the age between 18 and 64, the level of financial abuse is around between 6-11%. If you're over 65, that goes up 25-26%, and if you're over 80, that goes up to +30%. And I would say those figures are only the tip of the iceberg because they're figures that are collected by the HSE service. Many, many people, of course, don't interact with the HSE service. They're living at home or whatever. So it's not capturing the whole question of abuse, of the payment of state benefits or pensions or whatever. It's capturing those cases that are reported to the HSE Safeguarding Office and the protection teams around the country.
Now, we're talking about the public and the lack of reporting of these issues to either the HSE or the Gardaí.
Yes. Well, again, that's where we have the gap in the legislation. So we need a framework, a legal framework, one about, you know, when should a person report. And certainly we did a baseline study in, Safeguarding did a baseline study in 2016. It was very clear then that people didn't know who to report to, where to report. Obviously, the HSE safeguarding teams are there now, but they are referable really to the services that they provide. But as I already said, it's wider than that. So we need legislation actually to set out how, first of all, abuse can be detected, how it should be prevented, and then to catch abusers. But very importantly, the whole reporting arrangements. So who do you report to and when do you report? And that development is very necessary. Now, Senator Kelleher did introduce an adult safeguarding bill in the Oireachtas in 2017, and its passage is very slowly going through the Oireachtas. So we need that legislation. Also, the recent research has indicated that people would actually find a 24 safeguarding telephone helpline extremely useful. But interesting, again, 72% said that they would certainly use it if they could remain anonymous. So we need those procedures in place to enable people to report and who to report to. Also, in safeguarding legislation, what is required is the access to people, to a person in their home where they're being abused, if that's necessary. HSE doesn't have the right to go into a person's home at the moment if there is a safeguarding issue. And also then the issue of information around abuse. So if there's financial abuse, we need to have relevant authorities having access to information so that they can identify what the abuse is. So huge gap in the legislation.
So what can we do? There's elections coming up. Can we speak to our councillors that are going to be knocking on our doors at the moment?
Yes, but they're local councillors. Yeah, we need, yeah, at national level, we need to progress the legislation. We also need, we have the Assisted Decision-Making Capacity Act, which was enacted in 2015. Parts of it have been commenced, but not fully commenced. We're told the rest of it will be commenced in next year. And again, that deals with people whose capacity is at issue, or people who lack capacity. They would be the most vulnerable people. We need the commencement of that legislation pretty speedily and urgently, again, to deal with some of those issues. That legislation does put in place various arrangements that people can enter into to appoint somebody to act on their behalf and make decisions on their behalf when they lack capacity. And I would say one of the best ways that we can all safeguard ourselves is now that we each think, have we put something in place that would protect us in the future? So in other words, do an enjoying power of attorney for our financial and legal decisions, and appoint a trusted person, a suitable person. And I emphasise, it does not have to be a family member, but obviously if there is a suitable family member or a trusted family member, they can be appointed. And also make an advanced healthcare directive, in other words, decisions around your treatment and care and your place of care. Talk to a GP or a solicitor about that. So very important to think ahead. Again, the HSE figures, you know, we're expecting an increase in figures over last year from their office. But again, I emphasise they're really only the tip of the iceberg. But the types of abuse, really, obviously people over 18, the sexual abuse also, but the psychological abuse, there's abuse about making decisions for a person who's in very vulnerable circumstances without their consent, putting them into nursing homes against their consent. And again, that gives rise to issues of public policy, where we have state funding and supplement for people going into nursing homes, but we don't have a developed home care system. So quite a number of issues arise out of that. But the whole issue is to respect the individual person and their rights, and really their needs, and to really understand the risks. So the levels of abuse in Irish society is pretty high, and we really don't have proper safeguarding mechanisms there at the moment. I should emphasise we have the HSE safeguarding teams around the country, but they're on a policy basis, they're not there on a statutory basis, so we need a statutory basis for that as well.
Now, surely abuse is actually against the law, Patricia?
Oh, absolutely. And in some cases, it's a criminal act. So theft, yeah, is a criminal act. But if we're taking the €5 for the pension, we don't actually recognise that as theft, which it is. And of course, we're all obliged to report crime. But many of these issues are not, say, for example, making decisions on behalf of another is not clearly identified as an offence. Now, under the act that I mentioned, the Assisted Decision-Making Capacity Act, there are new offences there in relation to people who lack capacity. But that's why, again, we need that legislation. So many of the things we do without thinking, we don't understand some of the issues, are abusive.
Yeah.
And we must understand that, yes.
And there's a lot involved in this whole thing, you know, about getting...
Yes.
And 2015, yeah, you said this all started, you wanted a new legislation.
Pardon?
this was you wanted this new legislation brought in 2015, and now 4 years later, has there anything been done on it at all?
Oh yes. Well, the director of the Decision Support Service, who is the, if you like, the regulator under that legislation, her office has been set up and a lot of work done. Codes of practice have been drafted for the Act and that. But at the same time, it has taken too long, and there are certain parts of it that could be actually commenced straight away that would improve the current situation. I fully understand that systems have to be put in place in that, but there are parts of the Act that could be, as I say, commenced. For example, the Act sets out some guiding principles on dealing with the person whose capacity is at issue, to respect them and respect their wishes, to take account of their will and preference and their beliefs and values. We don't need to wait until 2020, you know, to actually have that as a legal principle and out there so that people can follow it.
Right, now we're talking about vulnerable adults here, and these adults, they could be in training centres, for instance, they could be in homes, and
Yes, they can be. So you can have quite a wide range. So not only people with disabilities, with intellectual disability, brain injury or whatever, but from time to time, you and I could be in a very vulnerable position. We could be bereaved, we could suffer loss, we could be very ill and find ourselves in a very vulnerable position. So we're talking about wide spectrum of people, and particularly older people. We live, unfortunately, in an ageist society, and we tend, once a person is old and frail, we tend to take over and control them. And that's psychological abuse, and we make decisions on their behalf that they don't necessarily wish to have made, or in fact, it would be against their wishes. So really important that we understand those issues. And while most families, the majority of families, are very, very good, unfortunately, there's a high level of abuse by families. And again, I think it's all about the awareness. And that is why Safeguarding Ireland is running this national public awareness campaign until the end of the month. We did one last year and indeed the year before. And we will continue to highlight the issues in relation to that. World Elder Abuse Awareness Day is coming up on the 15th of June. And again, it would be great if organisations just did pay attention to that and understood some of those issues.
Okay, maybe we'll talk again coming up to the 15th of June. And the National Public Awareness Campaign is running at the moment.
Yes, indeed. And if people want to access the website, it's safeguardingireland, all one word, .org. And there's access there to the various HSC safeguarding teams and information, the telephone information for the teams around the country. There are 9 teams. There's also information about Think Ahead, so a person can do their EPA and their Advanced Healthcare Directive and get information around that on the thinkahead.ie. The Banking and Payments Federation have a document which can be got on fraudsmart.ie. Again, information about managing finances and identifying fraud when it takes place. The I know the Department of Social Protection also has information on its website if anybody has concerns in relation to pensions and benefit payments.
Okay, Patricia, it doesn't actually make for a very pleasant reading, the press release that I received.
No. Yep, and while we've indicated in the press release that 10% of Irish adults have witnessed abuse in the past year, that translates into, actually, when you know that there are 3.5 million adults in the Irish population, that implies, you know, potentially 380,000 people have witnessed abuse. Very high number. So clearly, and again, people that were interviewed and participated in the research indicated that we do need laws in relation to that.
So would we urge people who witness this to report it to the HSE or to the Gardaí?
Absolutely, yes. And the Gardaí now have a new policy around community policing and all of that, and they're very aware of adult abuse. So Gardaí or HSE are the appropriate people to report it to, yes. And when our research indicates that only 3% reported what they had witnessed to the HSC or the Gardaí. Now, a large number, 47%, discussed it with the person being abused, But really, it's important that there is reported, that the issues of concerns are reported to the Guardian HSE, because again, last year we did research which indicated that only 2% of people who were abused actually reported themselves. And the reason for that is they are afraid, are under the control of another person, they are dependent on other people, so they are in fear that if they do report, then they'll suffer themselves. And we've evidence of that through the HSE safeguarding teams as well. So really important that people do report to the Gardaí. They can do it at HSE, they can do it anonymously if they wish, but very important that the person that's abused is identified and the circumstances.
Right, well, we will appeal to people to report these and the crimes against vulnerable people.
Yes.
And yes. The website is safeguardingireland.org.
Ireland.org, that's it, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Patricia, before we go?
No, I would emphasise that people should plan in advance, regardless what age you are, to do an enjoying power of attorney, an advanced healthcare directive and a place of care decision. So if anything untoward happened, that you're unable to make decisions yourself, you at least have those arrangements in place and you have talked to the person you've appointed and given them authority and really emphasised what your wishes are. Really important that people know the individual person's wishes as yeah. from trying to make decisions or whatever.
And it would be advisable to do that through a solicitor, I'd imagine.
Solicitor, you need a solicitor for an EPA. You do not need a solicitor for an advanced healthcare directive or a place of care decision.
Okay, and as you said, the person doesn't have to be a family member.
Indeed, yeah.
Right, Patricia, listen, thank you very much for taking my call this morning and
thank you, John.
Keep up the good
thank
work.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Okay, that was Patricia Rickard-Clark from Safeguarding Ireland. And if you're witnessing anything like that, please report it. And if you want more information, you can go on to safeguardingireland.org.